good morning, everyone. It is so good to be back with you from vacation, and hope you've had a great summer. Sylvia and I had a wonderful few weeks off, got to go up island, got to spend some time in Calgary with our son and daughter-in-law, and just had a wonderful few weeks. Hope you have, too. And we want to welcome Tom and Lily Card up here from Mexico.
Hello. Hello. Thank you very much.
Good to have you up here. Tom and Lily came up a few weeks ago, did the quarantine piece, and then spent some time with Kristen and Dave and the grandkids in Squamish. Came over this weekend. We had our annual Mission San Quintin planning session, and that went well. And if you don't know Tom and Lily, Tom and Lily give leadership to Mission San Quintin June Center, located in Vicente Guerrero, Mexico, which is about 3.5-4 hours south of Tijuana. And we have a Dream Center down there as a church. They give leadership to it, and we're glad you're here. And got a few questions to ask you this morning, starting with what's been going on. Give us some updates about what's been going on. It's been a year, right?
No, actually, since being interviewed on this stage, it's almost a year and a half.
Almost a year and a half. So in the, we know in the last year and a half, a lot has gone on.
Absolutely.
So maybe give us some updates, share with us a God working story. Turn it over to you for a few minutes.
Sure. Well, 2020 was looking to be a record year for groups. We were supposed to have about 17 groups. We had a few, January, February, and of course, everybody knows what happened. But the cool thing is God doesn't cancel. God doesn't shut down. And he just had us tweak what we were doing. Instead of concentrating on groups, we were focusing more on ministry, and God was really moving through ministry. And so an update, one update is we've got to go back a little bit in history. And maybe you've heard the story about a little over a year ago. We were up in the community that we work, and it was a Saturday, and the afternoon we were going to have a tournament. And so we had all these trophies and little medallions sitting in the truck, and we ran into where the breakfast club was just for a few minutes, and right away someone yelled and said, someone stole something from your truck. And sure enough, they broke the window, stole all the trophies, and I won't go through the whole process of what happened, but we did get those trophies back. But now the update, fast forward to now.
So we took that opportunity to go to the home of the young man that stole the trophies and his young wife who was pregnant, and we offered our forgiveness and our help. And God has since developed a relationship with her especially. I was able to throw her a baby shower, and she invited friends. And fast forward more, this month of July, we started our young women's ministry in that same community, and where we had been working with the young men for close to 2 years now. So God has really handpicked seven women in that community through Esperanza, this young woman, who has invited me into her life, and we are very excited about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then just another God story. That's just an update. Now, a God story is that most of you know that we work with at-risk youth. Some pretend or are in a bit of a gang. There's two gangs up in that community. And one of the gangs, there's a leader, an older teen. He was around 19. And this last February, he came to the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord. And just shortly after that, two more guys gave their life to the Lord. They started a discipleship program with us. And in May, three of the four got baptized. So
that's
amazing.
Awesome.
His name is Mauro, and his life has completely changed.
Yep, it's so exciting to see how God leads and guides us. Mm-hmm. And the work God's led the two of you into through Mission San Quintin and Las Misiones, the area you're working in, has been amazing. God is doing some great things. And we could sit here all day and tell God working stories. But as we look now to the future, what do you see?
Well, of course, with groups, we just don't know with COVID.
Right.
But ministry, we're really focusing on ministry, and we're really developing the at-risk youth program with young men, young women, and we're ramping it up. We're developing more of a program that's very holistic in their education, just high school or elementary, vocational training, life skills training, discipleship classes, and even job experience, and where we actually may not only train them in a skill, but we'll also try to place them in jobs. So that's a holistic look. And so we're doing the whole community of one community and working with the young kids, at-risk youth, and then their families. And we're seeing sustainable change with that approach.
And what's really exciting about that, as we were talking yesterday, is the long-term plan is to create this program and work it out and then be able to template it throughout the San Quintin Valley, right? That's
absolutely
the idea. It works well in Las Misiones. Let's take and template it into other areas of the valley.
Yes.
And that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. I think that's it sits neat down there, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
What are MSQ's needs? What if you were going to say, here are some needs MSQ has, what would they be?
Thankfully, we're growing, and we're growing rapidly. Ministry's exploding, and because of that, we're spread thin, and we need more full-time missionaries. We need two or three more full-time missionaries. The only prerequisite is a sense of humor. We love to laugh, and we need to laugh, and the work is hard, but it is so rewarding. So we need full-time staff. We are in need of two passenger vans, 12 to 15 person passenger vans. That's an urgent need, because we give field trips to these young men and women as incentive. When they finish things, we take them places they've never been. Some of them have never even been to the beach, which is a few miles from their home, because they don't have transportation. They work hard, on and on. The third thing we need quickly is computers. Schools there have shut down as well, and they're going online, but the kind of youth that we work with do not have computers. So we want to grow and continue our online school. So that's an urgent need.
So if you're interested in, or you know someone who might be interested, particularly there's two positions you're looking for, or you know some way to get some 15 passenger vans or computers, people can contact you, and the best way to contact you is?
Through this office.
All right. Send an email to office@sanagebaptist.org, or you can go on MSQ's website. It's msqdreamcenter.org.
Yes.
And you can contact them through that as well. So a number of ways you can contact. Just before I ask how we can pray for you, one more thing. Throw out the vision for the police center, police station, because one of the goals the next year, if you want to purchase it, maybe give us a little bit update there.
Well, one of the things we need is, of course, a location to have all these things and house this this program. And in a neutral area of three communities, there's an old police station that was ransacked and destroyed by riots that happened about probably 7-8 years ago. And God's just given us the vision that this place would, if we could take this over, renovate it, create it into a center for learning, healing, that from destruction to a place of healing. Mm. And so we're looking at targeting to see if we can acquire it this year, and then from there look into renovating it.
Great. So how much, if you are going to acquire it, your goal this year is to acquire it, how much do you need to do that?
The purchase price is going to be somewhere between $50,000 and $60,000 U.S., and then the renovation cost is, and also not just renovation, but furnishing equipment is about $200,000.
All right, so let's start with purchasing.
Yes.
So somewhere $50,000 to $60,000. So that's about $65,000 to $80,000 Canadian.
Yep. Yes.
All right. So if anybody wants to write a check for $80,000 Canadian.
I'll be waiting in the back.
Yeah, Tom will actually come and meet with you. So anyway, that's awesome. Great vision. Lots of things going on. And it's exciting because there's no teams. We're not entertaining teams until sometime in 2021, depending how COVID works out. but it's good to hear the ministry is still going on. Mm-hmm. So as the ministry still goes on, how can we pray for you?
I'll do it. The key thing that we really need is to move on, is to have that support, that help of missionary help in those positions, because we do have hired staff, some local ones, but this is more oversight and kind of takes responsibility from us so we can go and work a little bit more up here and develop things that are necessary. So that's a real key thing to pray for. Pray for health and strength for us as and staying free of COVID, because we continue to be within the community and that sort of thing. And God has laid his hand of protection on this community. Mm-hmm. There's very little COVID. And so awesome. We're really thankful for that. So those are the things that we'd really appreciate prayer for.
Well, let's take a minute and let's pray for Tom and Lily. So let's do that. Father, thank you for Tom and Lily. And thank you for them answering the call to live in Mexico and give leadership to this Dream Center. Thank you for how you've adjusted things in the midst of chaos to bring beauty from ashes. Thank you for the way that lives are being transformed. People are finding you. People are being baptized. Thank you for what you're doing in Las Misiones. Father, I just pray that you will continue to bless Tom and Lily, continue to give them vision and wisdom for this ministry. Thank you for their passion for you and their passion for at-risk youth and their families. Father, I pray you will continue to resource this mission well. Father, I pray that you will raise up money to purchase that police station. I pray, God, that you will bring the necessary people to help give leadership to this vital ministry. I pray for Tom and Lily. Father, I pray you'll keep them fired up. I pray, God, that you will keep them healthy, that your hand of protection will be on them. Thank you for all that you're doing in Mexico. Thank you that we can cheer them on from a distance. God, I pray you will lead them, and I pray you'll give them safety as they head back in a week or so. Father, thank you that next Saturday is Tom's 65th birthday. And God, thank you that we can celebrate that with him from afar. But thank you also, God, that at 65, he's still charging after you and what you have to do in his life. So God, we pray that you will continue to bless him with many, many more years of ministry for you. Thank you for this couple. May your hand of blessing be on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. And happy birthday next Saturday. Wow, that's a big one. Yeah. Thank you. Well, just before we jump into God's word today, I just have a couple of things to say. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone over the summer who has been faithfully supporting this ministry with your financial resources. Thank you for giving. Thank you for continuing to support us. Thank you for continuing to steward God's resources well. Thank you for the way you've been supporting MSQ financially as well, too. And there's a number of ways you can give. You can go on our website. We have all kinds of ways to make it easy during this time of COVID for you to give to support us. But I just want to say a big thank you for stewarding your resources, listening to the Spirit's prodding, and supporting MSQ and supporting SBC well. Also, just to let you know where we're going sermon-wise, next Sunday is going to be an important sermon. I know it's a long weekend. I know some of you will be away. And as I was saying on the pre-show, you can certainly watch it after Sunday. But you need to watch next Sunday's live stream. The sermon's going to be talking about church and COVID. And it's going to be addressing where we're going as a church in the fall of 2020 and into the winter of 2020. So I want to encourage you, if you can't watch it live next Sunday, to watch it during the week. After that, starting on September 13th, we're going to be starting a new series called The Lost Art of Living with Uncertainty and Loss. And we are moving into a fall, and one of the things I've noticed is there's a lot of uncertainty out there. People are feeling that uncertainty. People are dealing with loss. And so for a few weeks, we're just going to go into the Psalms together, and we're going to learn how to live with uncertainty, loss, and pain. So that's going to be starting on September 13th. Today, we're wrapping up Old Testament flannel graph. And apparently I have to use the flannel graph in a minute, but before we do that, let's start with word association. When you hear the word Goliath, what picture or thought comes to mind? When I hear the word Goliath, the picture or thought that comes to my mind is giant. And then I start thinking, what giants am I facing now? So let me ask you today, what giants are you facing in your life right now? You know, one of the giants all of us are facing is the giant of COVID-19. And what's that going to mean as we move through the fall and the winter this year? But there's also other giants, because life goes on underneath the template of COVID. Life is going on. And people are still facing everyday giants. What giant are you facing right now? As we wrap up this series, we're going to look at probably one of the most well-known stories, David and Goliath. You find it in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel in chapter 17. Let me set the stage for you. Israel is at war with one of its perpetual enemies, the Philistines. The two sides have gathered in a valley. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 3 says this: the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another. And there was a valley between them. And so you've got these two armies, the Philistines and you've got the Israelites. You've got this valley. There's a stream going through the bottom of the valley. Now the Israelites, historians tell us, were poorly equipped and poorly organized. The Philistines, on the other hand, were well-armed, well-organized, and they had this guy, here comes the flannel graph, they had this guy named Goliath. And Goliath was a giant. Literally, he was a giant. People feel that he was probably 9 feet 9 inches tall. I mean, the NBA would have loved to have had this guy. And he had a brass helmet that was rounded to deflect blows. He actually had brass boots, not sandals, but we're going with sandals today. Must have been hot. And he had brass leggings. He had a brass chest plate that went right from his chest down to his thighs. He also had a brass shield that was carried by his shield bearer. And he had a sword, or actually a spear. And the spear had a head on it that weighed 7 kilograms. That would do some nasty damage if it hit you. Goliath was a killing machine. And every day he would come out and he shouted this, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8. He shouted this to the Israelites on the other side of the valley. He said, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." It was interesting back then in the Middle East, they had a fascinating way of settling conflicts. Rather than two armies fighting it out and having mass casualties and many people dying, what they would do is each army would send out a champion. And so the two champions would go to battle one-on-one. Winner took all. The Philistines loved it because they had Goliath. And he'd been shouting this challenge across the valley at the Israelites twice a day for 40 days. How did King Saul and the army respond? Verse 11 says they were dismayed and terrified. Goliaths have a way of doing that in our lives, don't they? A giant enters your life. A big problem comes along, and suddenly this giant overwhelms you and terrifies you. anxiety creeps in and you become dismayed. That's what was happening to the army. They were paralyzed with fear. Now, in a crisis, who do you look to? You look to your leader. And I'm sure the Israelites were looking to their leader, King Saul, to do something. He was the biggest or the tallest man in Israel. The Bible also tells us he was a mighty warrior. He was the one that should be down in the valley facing Goliath. The army would have been looking to their king, their leader, to do something. But Saul was like the rest of the army. He was crippled by fear. And when leaders fail us, our hope diminishes and despair sets in. And that's what was happening to the army. Meanwhile, in Bethlehem, while his three older brothers were in the army on the front lines, David was tending sheep. And David's father became concerned about his other sons that were on the front lines, so he sent David to see how they were doing. David arrived and he found his brothers. When he got to the front line, he found his brothers, and he asked them how they were doing, and they were having a conversation. As they were talking, Goliath stepped out and issued his challenge. And David watched as the army cowered in fear. And he looked around, and he asked a simple question. What does the person get who kills Goliath? And he found out he gets great wealth, he gets the king's daughter in marriage, and he gets tax-exempt status for life. Not bad. King Saul had heard that David was asking questions. And so he had David brought to him, and when David met the king, David said this to the king, verse 32, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." The king looked at David and said, "Don't be ridiculous. You're only a boy. He's been a warrior since his youth." David responded by telling King Saul a couple of stories about a lion and a bear and how God had saved him. And then David said this. I love this. This is probably my favorite verse. Verse 37, he says this. David says to the king, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And so King Saul relented, but he suggested David wear the king's armor. The only problem was David was a 32 regular and King Saul was a 50 long. And so it didn't work. The armor was way too big for him. It was a non-starter. And so David headed down to the creek, took his shepherd's staff, and headed down to the creek. I'm a rookie when it comes to flannograph. Just go with me here. All right, so, and he headed down to the creek, and he got down to the creek here, and he bent down, and he picked up 5 smooth stones. And he put those 5 smooth stones into a shepherd's bag. And then David hopped across the stream. This is a big hop. And he came over here, and he confronted Goliath. And just to give you a little, we'll make Goliath a little bigger here. And he confronted this giant. And so here's David looking at this giant. The giant's looking at David, and he thinks it's all a big joke. Goliath says, verse 43, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Come here. I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David, not intimidated by the giant, said this in verse 45. "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And as Goliath moved closer, David placed a stone in his well-worn sling, and he flung the sling above his head, and he let the stone go. And the stone went, here's our stone, the stone went and struck Goliath, it says, right in the forehead, and embedded into his forehead, and Goliath went down, boom. David ran up, grabbed his sword, and cut off Goliath's head. And when the Philistine army saw this, when they saw David standing with a sword, cutting off Goliath's head, they freaked out and they fled with the Israelite army in pursuit. It's an amazing story. Conquering a giant in the name of the Lord. And in this story, there are some lessons for us to learn about how we can face giants when we're walking with Jesus. Here's lesson number one. When you face a Goliath, focus on God, not the giant. When you face a Goliath in your life, focus on God, not just the giant. If you faced a Goliath, if you faced a giant of a problem in your life, you know that they attack daily and relentlessly. You know they yell across the valley and they rattle your foundations. You know they load you down, stress you out, overwhelm you. And when all of that happens, it's so easy to just get focused on the giant. You wake up in the morning and all you think about is the giant. You go through your day and you just think about the giant. You go to sleep thinking about the giant. And when that happens, anxiety and fear grips you. And you feel defeated. And you lose hope. That's why when giants come along, the first thing we need to do is react like David, not the army. The army focused on the giant. That's all they could hear, that's all they could see, and that caused them, as we've seen, to be anxious and to be cowering in fear and to be paralyzed. And that's what can happen to us today. But did you notice in the story, David kept his focus on his God, not the giant. 8 times when David was speaking, he focused on God. For sure, David saw the giant. You couldn't miss the giant. But his focus was on the Lord. David didn't focus on Goliath's size. He didn't get out into the battlefield and think, whoa, I misjudged the size of this guy. He didn't do that. Because David's focus was on his God, not just his giant-sized problem. The first step in dealing with the Goliaths in our lives is to put our focus in the right place. And that means focusing on your God, not just the problem in front of you. Let me ask you today, what giant are you facing? What battle are you in? Are you facing something bigger than you? Something that's overwhelming you? Something that's taking your focus? Maybe it's a health issue or a relationship issue or an addiction or a work issue or a financial issue, an emotional issue, something else. If you're facing a Goliath today, I want to encourage you to focus on God, not the size or the power of your problem. Don't focus just on the Goliath. Focus on your God. Don't let the bigness of the giant cause you to take your focus off the greatness of your God. Don't let the bigness of the giant cause you to take your focus off the greatness of your God. Can I give you three tips? I'm going to give you three tips that I found helpful to keep my focus on God rather than just on giant-sized problems in my life. The first is this: be in the Word. Read the Bible. When you read the Bible, you see over and over people walking with God and conquering the giants. That will encourage you to keep your focus on God. Secondly, put reminders around where you work, where you in your car, just little maybe dots or an alarm on your watch, something that when you hear it or see it, it reminds you to keep your focus on God, not on the problem. Because it's so easy when you're driving your car to get focused on the problem, but you see that little dot that you put on your steering wheel, and that reminds you, focus on my God, not my problem. And the third thing I found helpful, so be in the Word, put reminders around. Here's the third thing: get some big God people in your life. Big God people keep their eyes fixed on God, not just their circumstances. They focus on God even during the tough times, and they inspire you to do the same thing. They rub off on you. Big God people don't look at giants and say, he's so big, how can I win? Big God people look at the giant and say, he's so big, and with God on my side, how can I miss? Get some big God people around you. They will help you keep your focus on God. They inspire you to do that. So lesson one, when you're dealing with a giant, focus on God. Lesson two, when you're focused on the giant, is trust God. Trust God. Again, in verse 44, Goliath said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals. And I love the way David shouted back. Notice his focus here on God. Verse 45, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As you face your giant, take your cue from David and put your trust and your confidence in him. Know that in God, all things are possible. Nothing is too big for God to handle. Our God is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all present. He is the King and the Creator of the universe. He's the one who is able, according to Ephesians 3:20, to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. Do you believe that? Because when you believe that your God is all-powerful, all-knowing, when you believe that your God is the creator and the sustainer and the king of the universe, when you believe that your God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all you ask or imagine, then you know that your God is the one in whom you can trust. In Psalm 25:1, David wrote, in you, Lord my God, I put my trust. David trusted God in the present because he'd seen God's faithfulness in the past. He had seen God rescue him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And because of that, David knew that God would be with him as he fought this battle. He would rescue him from 9-foot, 9-inch Goliath. And what's true for David is also true for me. If you're having trouble trusting God in the present as you face a giant, look back and see how God has been faithful in the past. God's faithfulness in the past will allow you to trust God in the present. Let me ask you, as you face the giants in your life, where are you placing your trust? In what or who are you placing your trust? Let's be like David and say, in you, Lord my God, I put my trust. Lesson one, focus on God. Lesson two, trust in God. Lesson three, when you face Goliath, is act. Step out in faith. If David didn't step out in faith, nothing would have changed. David put his focus on God. David put his trust in God. And then he took action. He stepped out in faith. David not only believed the battle was the Lord's, he acted on it. And here's something I know. The power of God is never released to the sideline watcher. It's when we step out in faith that God shows up in powerful ways. There seems to be a divine partnership, if you will, between the faith and the action of God's people and the release of God's power. As you step out in faith, you're going to find it's then that God's power and courage are released in you. If David didn't step out in faith, nothing would have changed. And so many people today face giants in their lives, but nothing changes. Week after week, month after month, sometimes year after year. Why? Because they don't step out in faith. As you face your Goliath, where do you need to step out in faith this week? Where do you need to take action this week? What is a next step of faith you can take this week? Nothing will change if you don't step out in faith. Lesson one, focus on God. Lesson two, trust in God. Lesson three, step out in faith with God. What giants are you facing in your life right now? What battles are you fighting? Are you facing something overwhelming? Something that's paralyzing you with anxiety and fear? Let me encourage you to follow the example of David. Focus on God, not just the giant. Trust in God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He's the creator and the king of the universe. And then act. Step out in faith with God. And when you take a step of faith, you're going to find God's power being released in your life. Focus, trust, act. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we will learn from this amazing story in Scripture. It's so easy in life to put our focus on the giant like the Israelite army did. And when that happens, we get despair and we become hopeless and we're defeated. And yet let us learn from the shepherd David to put our focus on you, not just the giant. To trust in you because you are a faithful God. And then let us act. Let us step out in faith. And Lord, right now there are people watching who, Father, are facing giants and are paralyzed by that giant. God, I pray that you will give them by your Holy Spirit the power this week to take one step of faith. And may that step of faith lead to victory. In Jesus' name, amen.